Mark meets me at the airport. He and Betsy live in Denver now, the eternally patient parents of two vibrant teenagers. He was a late bloomer, but sometime during high school, he sprouted up over 6 feet. Gone is the Greg Brady shag, replaced by the hoorah flat top. Though he usually wears Wranglers and a polo to work, he's done out in a somber grief-appropriate suit today. Tall, lanky, and handsome. We're the first to arrive at Grandpa and Grandma's church, First Baptist in Hinton. Not to be confused with First Baptist in Broken Arrow, First Baptist in Noble, or First Baptist in New York City. I link my arm through his as we approach Grandpa's open casket. How can anyone who's seen a dead body question the existence of the soul? The difference between the living and the dead so clearly goes beyond temperature and movement. There's an energy that's there, until it isn't. Human beings, and let me just interject here that I love being a part of a species whose name is a verb. Human beings have an innate fascination with the idea of afterlife, a close cousin of our fascination with death. We're forever trying to build bridges, find peepholes. It's a major theme in theater, music, literature, and art. Everything from Dante's Inferno to, well, take Pushing Daisies, for example. What if, proposed the delightfully quirky mind of Brian Fuller, a man could bring the dead back to life with a single touch? Interesting premise, but a bit of a free lunch unless you build in a few complications. Another touch, and the resurrected one is dead again. And if the second touch doesn't happen in 60 seconds or less, someone else dies. Another human fixation, the bargain that is salvation. We need things to balance out. If you get a little this, you gotta give a little that. Of course, capitalism kicks in, and the man decides to use this extraordinary gift to solve murders and collect the rewards. It's a complicated scenario. The protagonist is playing an almost impossible daily game of Twister that has us holding our breath and hopefully being a little more mindful of life, death, and the power of touch. It's good TV. And no, that is not an oxymoron. With excellent writing and an amazing ensemble of terrific actors. To see it strangled in its infancy by ratings or the writer's strike would have broken my heart. I learned just how quickly circumstances can kill a worthy show when I did my huge hit sitcom Kristen on NBC. Huge hit! Puccini high note huge! Ask either of the people who saw it. Obviously, Pushing Daisies is a great gig, but when it came up, I'd already made a semi-firm commitment to do Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein on Broadway, the Madeline Kahn role. And I worship Madeline Kahn, even named my little dog Maddie in homage. That was hard to turn away from. And now that I think about it, Frankenstein is another piece concerning the bridge between life and death, another examination of what truly constitutes life. Electricity? Chemistry? Or is animation without a soul monstrous? As firmly as I believe in the existence of my left ankle, I believe in the existence of my soul. Einstein said energy can't be created or destroyed, only changed. The Bible says God breathed life into Adam. Do the math. Standing beside my brother at the front of the church, I feel my grandfather in the room, but I know he's not in this box. Mark puts his arm around my shoulder and we gaze at this man who was so important to us both. But after a moment, our sniffling gives way to frozen silence. We exchange furtive, "Are you looking at what I'm looking at?" glances. "What's with his hand?" I whisper. "I don't know," Mark whispers back. "Seems like it's sort of floating." And it is. The hands are...